Different wounds. Shelia's eyes rose, then she nodded.
Oh, of course.
Shelia gripped a sunburst symbol that hung from her necklace while holding her hand out at me.
By the grace of the Dawn Father, heal.
I felt a rush of energy swell into me as a faint orange glow covered my body. I saw a system alert appear as the pain faded away. Shelia cast Heal 1 on you. You have been healed for 54 points of damage.
Thanks. That feels much better.
The added bit of healing, plus what I had regenerated so far, was enough to take me back to full health.
We still have a dozen villagers unaccounted for,
the Bond said to me as he nodded in thanks to Shelia.
Jenkins, our smith, and Rit, a merchant, were out by the workshop, just to the east of the hall. It's the only other building in the village without a straw roof. They may have had a chance to barricade themselves inside. There were other guards at the gate, but if they didn't make it here...
Quest update. The Goblin Raid. New objective. Optional. Rescue Jenkins and Rit. Reward, bonus experience, and... I looked at the villagers before me and nodded.
Don't worry. If they're alive, I'll find them and bring them back.
After I left the villagers barricaded inside the town hall, I quickly found the workshop, a dull, mostly stone structure with a large chimney and clay roof. The primary point of interest, however, was the four goblins looking to break the door down. The door looked worse for wear as the goblins' weapons took small pieces off of it with every blow. I quickly scanned the group of goblins, seeing that all of them were lowly level one young goblin raiders. Hopefully this will hurt less now that I have armor. I made stealth a priority as I carefully crept towards the workshop. Thankfully, the goblins weren't trying to stay quiet, so their noise covered any missteps that I may have made on the way. I stealthily closed the distance until I was only a few feet away, then quickly exploded into action. Leaping forward, I led with a heavy boot to the back of a goblin's head, sending it sprawling into one of its companions with a crash. Using my forward momentum, I chopped my sword viciously into the shoulder of another goblin, nearly splitting it in two as the blade sliced its way through the goblin's body. I wrenched my sword out of the dying goblin in a spray of blood, quickly cleaving an arm off the nearby goblin beside it. The armor the Bond had given me easily caught a feeble spear thrust as I backhanded the offending goblin to the ground and stabbed it until it stopped moving. I whirled on the now one-armed goblin that had pressed itself against the door in fear and quickly put it out of its misery with a stroke.
Starting to get the hang of this,
I muttered to myself as I finished off the dazed goblin I had kicked at the beginning of the fight. Looking around, I paused to witness the results of my brutality and to ensure none of the goblins remained alive. A moment later, the goblin bodies all dissolved in a spray of green pixels.
Is someone out there?
A voice called from the inside.
Yes, Rit, Jenkins, I called back. The Bond sent me to rescue you and get you to the town hall.
You don't sound like a goblin. Hold a moment.
I heard a bar being moved from behind the door, and it was pulled open slowly. A young, pale-skinned man holding a spear peered back out at me, and after a moment waved me in quickly.
Come inside, quick.
I stepped inside the workshop, cautiously looking around as the door was closed behind me and the bar was set back in place. A second dark-skinned man standing behind the now-closed door looked at me wearily.
Who are you? Why are you wearing militia armor?
I'm an adventurer. I saw the goblin attack and came to help, I said, somewhat twisting the truth slightly as I looked at the dark-skinned man. I noticed that he was dressed in similar style armor as me, but carried a nicer-looking sword with a matching shield. As for the armor, I had none of my own, so the Bond gave it to me for helping drive out the goblins in the town hall. He said it belonged to Stephen.
Shit! Stephen didn't make it. I'm Rit, by the way,
the pale-skinned man said.
He's Jenkins.
I only know what the Bond told me, I quickly replied, with a sorrowful expression on my face. We can't stay here, though. The Bond sent me to see if I could find you two and take you back up to the town hall. We've cleared out the goblins attacking the hall, and they have a pretty solid defense set up in there.
There's no time for a defense,
Jenkins said hotly while peering out of a finger-sized hole in the door, courtesy of the goblins' remodeling efforts.
The goblins are up to something. We saw them dragging villagers out of their homes.
I'll take care of that, I stated confidently. I fought my way here, after all.
Bullshit. I don't know you. Why would you care about these villagers anyway?
Jenkins spat while tightening the fastenings on his shield as he spoke.
I'm going out there to rescue as many as I can.
Slow down, Jenkins. You can't go alone. If you die, I'll never hear the end of it.
Rit waved the big man to a stop as he quickly set his spear against the wall, picking up a bow and quiver. Rit looked at me, motioning me to follow.
Come on. He's not going to take no for an answer.
The pair quickly threw the bar off the door a second time and darted outside, leaving me in the workshop by myself. Shit. These NPCs sure are more independent than I'm used to. Snapping back to the present, I checked my journal as I moved to follow the pair. There were 13 more goblins left in town. Easy enough to do now that I had help. Hopefully they won't run too far off without me. Chasing after the smith and merchant, I caught up with the pair as we approached the broken gate, hearing desperate shouts for help echoing through the air, intermixed with merciless goblin laughter.
Our village is still alive!
Rit exclaimed as we saw several goblins herding captive villagers into a barred wagon. Four large horses stood ready to pull the wagon away at a moment's notice.
They're kidnapping them!
Is that uncommon? I asked.
Sure as shit it's uncommon.
Jenkins was already on the move towards the group.
Let's go!
Hold up, we need a plan,
I said as I ran to catch up with Jenkins, pulling him aside. We can't just run into there, they'll eat us alive.
Those are my friends in that wagon,
Jenkins hissed, shrugging my hand off.
The plan is to kill them, hard and fast. I thought you had stones, adventurer.
Hard and fast is exactly what your ass is going to get if you wander right into that mess, I retorted, not backing down from the angry smith.
Listen, we need to do this smart. We can save the villagers and live through this, trust me.
Jenkins made an annoyed sound but nodded. You have learned a new skill, wordplay. Wordplay increases chance to persuade non-player characters, resolve differences, and or get information. Quest update, the Goblin Raid, new objective, optional. Rescue the captured villagers, reward, bonus experience, and ... Good. First, you and Ritter can back up a few steps so they can't clearly see you. In the meantime, I'm gonna go hide behind those crates.
I pointed to a stack of crates with building materials strewn around it about 30 feet away. Once I'm in place, Rit will fire off a few arrows to get their attention. At that point, Jenkins, you get to put on a show. Make them want you enough to come chasing over this way. With any luck, they'll take the bait and string themselves out as they run. Once they're past my hiding spot, I'll pop out and start killing them from behind. From there, we'll just chop our way through them until we meet in the middle. Looking at Rit, Jenkins nodded, a smile forming on his face.
Sounds like a plan, adventurer.
Call me Lyrian, I said with a smile. Then motioned them away as I crept my way towards my hiding spot. Sword in hand, I quickly stalked over to the hiding spot I'd picked out for myself. A stack of two crates, roughly shoulder level high. 10 seconds later, I heard Rit's bow twang. A loud cry told me that it landed in the midst of the goblins and caused some pain. I crouched further behind the crate as I heard Jenkins start yelling while banging his sword and shield together.
Over here, you filthy beasts! Come and get me!
Predictably, the goblins took the bait and charged towards Rit and Jenkins without any regard to subterfuge or tactics, screeching the entire way. Crouching behind the boxes, I saw a few arrows hit the leading goblins, causing them to stumble as they ran. As soon as I counted the last goblin past my hiding spot, I moved. I quickly caught up to the rear of the goblins and began slashing out at the goblins wounded by Rit's arrows, my passive sneak attack ability giving me an edge as I cut my way through the unaware goblins. 4 straggling goblins later, I caught up to the horde as they swarmed Jenkins. He maintained a desperate defense, swinging his sword in wide arcs, doing his best to keep the goblin horde from flanking him. Meanwhile, I saw Rit playing for distance as he shot down a goblin that threatened to flank Jenkins. Running in a full sprint, I crashed into the goblins, using my size to bully 2 of them to the ground. I sank my sword deep into the side of a third, giving Jenkins a chance to behead it as it recoiled in pain. Combat blurred as we hacked and stabbed the goblins to pieces. The fight only lasted seconds, but by the end of it both Jenkins and I were covered in blood. I was nursing a particularly nasty bite when I heard three separate dings as the system prompt exploded across my vision. You have gained experience. Congratulations, you have reached level 2. Quest complete, the Goblin Raiders. Optional complete, rescue Rit and Jenkins. Optional complete, rescue the captured villagers. You have gained experience. You have gained experience. You have gained experience. Congratulations, you have reached level 3. Congratulations, you have reached level 4. You have 15 attribute points unspent. You have completed the tutorial levels. Your resurrection point has been set to Aldford. Player messaging has been unlocked. You have friend requests pending. That's more like it, I thought to myself as I scanned through all the messages. That's the last of the goblins, I said, smiling. The levels I gained had restored my health instantly. Jenkins looked quite worse for wear, however. Let's go get the rest of the villagers out of the wagon and get you healed.
Phew. I may have been wrong about you, adventurer. Illyrian, Jenkins said in between hurried breaths. You adventurer types don't care about us common folk.
Well, I'm not that kind of adventurer, I said flatly, as I turned to make my way to the captive villagers.
We will see.
Chapter 5 The aftermath of the goblin raid resolved itself reasonably quickly. Jenkins, Rit, and I released the captive villagers from the wagon and informed the Bond of the all-clear. The villagers weren't shy about heaping praise and thanks for helping kill the goblins, but I could still see the fear in their eyes. Their home had been invaded and 5 of their own were dead. With how small this village was and how closely everyone knew one another, the mood was understandably depressed.
Your timely assistance is much appreciated, Lyrian.
Things had finally calmed down enough for the Bon and me to talk. Ironically enough, in the very office I had first spawned in.
There was talk about sending out a call for all able-bodied adventurers to help tame these frontiers. But we had left Iberia before a decision was made. We are in your debt for helping us. Though I am about to ask for even more of your assistance.
What sort of help do you need? I asked, torn between curiosity and hesitation. At least Iberia's nearby. I still have no idea why I was spawned here, I thought as I listened to the Bond speak. I was hoping to have some time to catch my breath and sort out my character. Right now, I was a somewhat inept rogue warrior hybrid with high intellect for my level. I needed time to train, read my character sheet, and find a spell or two, not to mention getting in touch with the group.
Supplies, more specifically, any and all help you can offer in helping us get back on our feet again. The horses we captured from the goblins will go a long way to helping move goods and plow the fields, but we still need everything from meat to pelts to help replenishing the stores the goblins spoiled.
The Bond sighed and looked at me with concern in his eyes.
It is imperative that we get this village in shape before the next round of settlers arrive at the end of the month.
The end of the month? I exclaimed with surprise. That isn't a lot of time. What happens if it isn't?
Then I stand a very good chance at being removed as Bond,
Alduin replied softly,
and thrown into a debtor's prison. Or worse.
What? I nearly shouted. Why? The Bond looked at me for a moment, as if mulling something over in his mind.
In order to fund this village, I was forced to take out a loan from a noble house. House Daenerys, in fact. As part of the agreement, they allow me considerable freedom to run the village as I see fit. However, the agreement also stipulates that I must have a prosperous village to show for their investment within a month's time, as they are putting a considerable amount of effort into recruiting settlers and obtaining supplies on my behalf.
That's reasonable, I suppose, I said to Aldwyn, understanding his predicament.
It would have been, if not for the goblin attack,
the Bon agreed with a sigh.
Which is why I'm turning to you for help. Any aid you could offer us would be greatly appreciated.
I'll see what I can do, I replied earnestly, seeing a new quest appear in my vision. New quest, rebuilding Aldford, evolving quest. The village of Aldford needs your help in getting more supplies and rebuilding after the goblin raid. They are in dire need of food, crafting materials, and defenses. Warning, this quest is timed, 30 days remaining. Objective, find food and supplies for Aldford. Difficulty, hard. Reward, experience, and reputation with Aldford.
I haven't forgotten what you've done for us during the attack, however,
Bon Aldwyn continued as I accepted his quest with a nod.
We collected everything we found on the goblins. Hopefully you can make use of them. If not, I'm sure Rit and Jenkins will scavenge or burn them later. The villagers aren't keen on seeing or using anything they saw in the goblins' hands.
You have received a sturdy backpack, 30 slots, from Bon Aldwyn. Warning, sturdy backpack is currently full. Oh, jeez. I completely forgot about the loot during all the fighting. I peered inside the bag and saw that it was filled with random items from the goblins. A few spears, a fair number of shivs, similar to the one I found before, and some scrap leather armor pieces. The biggest prize, however, was the bag itself. 30 slots tripled my carrying capacity.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
I'll see what I can do to put this to use in helping out Aldford.
No, thank you, adventurer. You helped us out of a bind with the goblin raid. We were caught unprepared, and that was my fault. I'll not let it happen again. I've spoken with Jenkins and Rit. I've asked that they help you out should you need any spare tools or instructions to get you started.
I nodded at the Bon as I stood to leave, sensing the implied dismissal. I'll go see them right away and see what I can do to help Aldford. Walking downstairs, I found a spot in the town hall downstairs to take a break. The barricade had been disassembled, with the tables and benches now organized into rows. Taking a seat at a table, I pulled up my character sheet and began mentally reviewing the battle against the goblins. I need to be faster and stronger. I had some success in using my size against the goblins, but I was fairly confident it wasn't going to last. Right now, my innate bonuses to constitution and intelligence kept my health and mana pool growing. Not that I had anything to use my mana with yet. With 15 attribute points to use, I carefully looked over my sheet before assigning 10 points to agility and the other 5 points to strength. Accepting my changes, I took a moment to look at my updated sheet. Lyrian Rastler, level 4 novice, human male, Iberian. Statistics, HP 341. Stamina, 310. Mana, 360. Armor, 10. Attributes, strength, 20. Agility, 20. Constitution, 23. Intelligence, 28. Willpower, 10. Abilities, stealth. Sneak attack, 1. Passive. Attacks made before the target is aware of you automatically deal weapon damage plus 13. Power attack, 1. Active, 50 stamina. You slash viciously at the target, putting extra strength behind the blow. Deal weapon damage plus 7. Skills. Unarmed combat, level 1, 1%. Increases knowledge of hand-to-hand fighting and improves related abilities. Stealth, level 1, 66%. Decreases chance of being detected while attempting to stay hidden. Improves related abilities. Swords, level 1, 90%. Increases knowledge of sword fighting and improves related abilities. Wordplay, level 1, 15%, increases chance to persuade others, resolve differences, and or get information. The moment I assigned my stats, I felt different. My arms instantly felt a little thicker, and my body just a bit more energetic, like I suddenly had an extra spring in my step, and everything was just a little bit easier. Would my body change as I gained levels and assigned my stat points? What about my mind, if I added more to my intellect? I shook my head. This was too much to think about right now. Looking at my character sheet, I noted that my stats were relatively balanced for the moment, but I had to pick a path soon. Sneak attack was reliable as ever, though it was unlikely I'd be able to get the opening blow consistently, and unless I focused in stealth, the damage bonus would likely remain small. Scrolling down my sheet, I saw the little progression I'd made in my skills, noting that the more I used a skill, the better it got. Seeing how I was at level 4 already, and all of my skills a measly level 1, I considered myself seriously behind. A message appeared in the corner of my vision. Constantine.
Yo, it's Peter! Are you finally out of the tutorial?
During our night of reading and debating the information that was given in the primer, we all made sure to trade a list of character names that we try to take when we made it in the game. Peter chose Constantine. Deckard chose Drace, Zack chose Caius, Heron chose Halcyon, and Misha chose Sierra. Lyrian.
Yeah, shit. Character creation overwhelmed me a bit. I ended up with tunnel vision and just kept reading through the character menus. Odd thing, though, I got blocked from starting in Iberia. What about you guys?
Constantine.
Eh? No, we all loaded in here fine. Wait, how are you level 4 already if you've practically just started? Where are you?
Lyrian.
I got bumped to a different village.
When I finished making my character, the system tried to load me into Iberia, but all I got was a message the area was locked due to an event, so I was dropped into the middle of a village called Aldford under attack from a horde of goblins. I just finished clearing them out of here.
Constantine. You've already been in combat? All they've had us do were fetch-type quests, and then we had to sit through this stupid call-to-arms ceremony the king put on. That's probably what blocked you. He's a massive twat, by the way. But it got us 3 silver and a starter's kit. Any idea where Aldford is?
Lyrian. No idea. I don't have a map. It's near Iberia, though. One of the locals just mentioned it.
Constantine.
Let me check with the Surveyor's Guild here. They have a free map everyone can use.
Lyrian. Sure.
I idly waited for a few minutes, reading over my character sheet, until Constantine replied.
Constantine. Okay, from the looks of it, Aldford is about 7 days' travel on foot, but I just heard another group talking about a shortcut that we'll check out. With any luck, we can cut it to 2 days if it pans out, and we can walk late into the night. Iberia's crowded as fuck right now anyway. Probably close to 10,000 people here, if not more. Fewer players will be out your way.
Lyrian.
Works for me.
Be careful in combat, though. It really hurts if you get hit.
Constantine. Really? Shit. We saw a guy take a dive off a balcony because he was too lazy to go down the stairs. Broke both his legs and was screaming the whole time until he was healed. I thought he was just playing it up.
Lyrian. The pain is very real at the moment, but the memory of it fades fast. We chatted for a few more minutes before they set off, during which we both found out that player messaging was only enabled when both players were in a safe zone. If a player was out adventuring in the wild, the messages would be held in limbo until they returned. Makes sense to limit communication, I thought to myself. It forces people to cooperate closely and gives them another incentive to return to a city. I stood up with a stretch. It was time to see Rit and Jenkins about the bond's promise for assistance. Maybe they'll be able to teach me a trade skill or two. A few minutes later, I found Rit outside the workshop.
Hey, Lyrian, I was about to look for you. The Bond have a chance to talk to you yet?
Yeah, he mentioned that you had tools for me? I asked hopefully.
I have a few tools, and a handful of trade skill primers here, too,
Rit replied, handing me a stack of books. Primers? I asked, taking the books.
The trade guilds decided it was easier and cheaper to write out the instructions for the more common trades and basic recipes and sell the primer books than it was to have their workers training each and every adventurer that threw coin at them. Once the scribes guild caught wind of the idea,
Rit rubbed his fingers together in the universal money motion.
Sure helps us out here in the middle of nowhere, though, or if you can't easily find someone that'll teach you.
Definitely. Thanks, Rit. I said as I looked closer at the books. Trade skill primer, blacksmithing, trade skill primer, leatherworking, trade skill primer, cooking, trade skill primer, mining. Do you wish to learn these trade skills? This will consume the trade skill primers. Yes, no. Blacksmithing, a crafting skill used to work metal. Leatherworking, a crafting skill used to work leather. Cooking, a crafting skill used to cook meats and plants into tasty meals. Mining, a gathering skill used to spot and identify raw stone and ore in the world. Mineable nodes will be highlighted with a green outline. Yes, now we're getting somewhere. The books crumbled into dust, and I saw messages fly by as the novice-level blacksmithing, leatherworking, and cooking recipes were added to my recipe book.
"It's a pickaxe you can use as well,"
Rit continued, completely ignoring the dissolving books. "I appreciate the help getting started," I said as I accepted the tool, then pointed towards the workshop. I was thinking to take a few minutes to look over the things the goblins had on them. Maybe I can learn something useful from them.
"Sure, be my guest and use the forge. Jenkins said you could have free rein. He's, busy at the moment."
Rit smirked, eyebrows raised, silently begging me to follow up with more questions. "Thanks, Rit," I replied, pushing past the young merchant. I wasn't in any mood to pry right now. I had better things to do. I figured things out quickly once I sat myself down in the workshop. I didn't have the material I needed to craft just yet, but after unlocking the different trade skills, I found out I was also able to deconstruct items and gain resources and experience from them. Wasting no time, I quickly deconstructed the bag of goblin loot. As a whole, I was somewhat disappointed with the result. Half a level in both blacksmithing and leatherworking, a few leather scraps from the armor, some low-quality copper metal, and a number of miscellaneous items like bone, plant fibers, and wood. "You have learned the goblin skill, improvisation. You are the first player to learn this skill. Congratulations. Improvisation. Goblins are often scavengers, making do with whatever they can find. Your study of goblin craftsmanship has given you the insight to make adjustments to standard and learned recipes by replacing required materials with something else. For example, replacing metal with wood in an armor recipe will create a set of wooden armor instead of metal. The higher your level in improvisation, the more changes can be made, and the fewer materials they will require." My jaw dropped. That was an incredible skill. The open-minded trait was paying dividends already. I felt my palms start to sweat as my mind raced at the thought of crafting unique items. First thing first, though, I needed to get crafting materials. Unfortunately, a quick look over the basic recipes I'd managed to unlock after learning my trade skills showed me that I didn't have enough materials to make anything at all. Time to go hunting, then. I started to throw the mess of deconstructed items into my backpack as I stood up and left the workshop. Outside, I ran into Rit again. Apparently, he had nothing better to do for the moment but sit on a crate outside the workshop. "Hey, Rit, I don't suppose you have any spells for sale."
"Spells?"
Rit frowned.
"I didn't take you for a caster while you were laying about with that sword. I have a single scroll, actually. Won't do you any good without a spell book, though."
"I have a spell book," I said, pulling the book out of my pack excitedly. I was finally going to rectify my haste in character creation. "What spell is it?"
"Flare."
Rit stood and pulled a scroll out of the crate he was just sitting on. He waved it in the air, baiting me with it.
"I'm gonna need something in exchange for it. 5 silver.
"Seriously? I'm gonna be going out there into the wild trying to get supplies for this village, and you're hawking me 5 silver pieces for a spell no one in this town has a spell book to even learn?"
"Demand has suddenly skyrocketed,"
Rit grinned greedily.
"You know, market forces are hard to predict now that adventurers are about. Might go up even further. Besides, with the primers and tools I've given you, I'm already out double that."
As greedy as the NPC was being, he had a point. "How about this? Give me the spell now. It'll help me out while I'm out there in the wild, and I'll pay you 7 silver pieces worth of pelts and ore." I could see as the wheels turned inside Rit's head.
"Fine. That works too.
He handed over the scroll. New quest, Writ's loan. Repay your debt to Writ. Difficulty, average. Penalty for failure, loss of reputation with Aldford. Arcane spell, flare, evocation. Favored class, novice. Mana, 30. Range, 50 feet. The player conjures a ball of fire in their hand and throws it at the target, dealing 13 damage. Do you wish to scribe this spell? Yes, no. Once again I was rewarded with the scroll crumbling away into dust, and I saw the magical script slowly appear on the first page of my spellbook. Mentally selecting the spell, I activated it, conjuring a small ball of fire in my left hand with a bright orange glow.
Oh, shit!
Writ yelped, hopping off his crate.
You learned it already! Don't do that in the village! Put it out!
Right, sorry. I flinched, waving my hand to cancel the spell. It looked like I could conjure this spell on the fly, something I appreciated. Standing still was a sure way to get yourself into trouble. I would have to practice more with it once I left the village. Thanks, Writ. I'll be sure to put this to good use. I waved goodbye to Writ. It was time to go hunting before I got roped into the rebuilding efforts at the gate. Chapter 6. The land surrounding Aldford were lush and fertile. I figured it was only a matter of time before the coming wave of players cleared the land and settled it for farming. It had the perfect mix of trees, greenery, and scattered ponds without being too hilly. You could drop a seed on the ground here and it would happily grow in no time. I had even found a few veins of copper ore while I was exploring the area. Truthfully, the only downside of the area was that it was absolutely crawling with animals and other creatures.
Rawr!
I threw my newly learned spell in the fire beetle's face and quickly followed up with a stab to finish the creature off. I'd been exploring the area for roughly 2 hours, tracing a small circle around Aldford. I found it difficult to move further than 20 feet without tripping over a snake, fox, or beetle, but it let me train the skills I was already behind in due to my earlier level gain. I had another odd moment when my sword skill rose to level 2. I immediately felt like I knew more about the art of swordplay. It was hard to explain. In an instant, I knew I was gripping the hilt wrong, and I could now envision different attacks or parries. The same happened when my skill reached level 3. If Fiverr can replace everything we see and feel with this virtual reality, can it not implant skills and knowledge in our head? My consistent use of flair had unlocked the evocation skill as well, which provided a similar influx of knowledge. I could concentrate just a little better, and I felt like I was scratching at the rules of magic within the game. Even the blinding pain I had originally felt when I was first stabbed by the goblins was somehow easier to bear. All this was a strange and addicting feeling. You have run out of food and drink. You are hungry and thirsty. Regeneration of health and mana has stopped. Regeneration of stamina reduced by 50%. Oh, shit, I cursed mentally, snapping out of my daydream as my stomach rumbled. I had forgotten about food. Here I sat at 50% health, in an area where creatures were ready to take a bite out of me, and my health stopped regenerating. Wait, I learned cooking, didn't I? I opened my recipe book. Only a single recipe was listed. Charred meat. Food. Meal. Benefit? Satiate hunger for 2 hours. Requirements? Meat. Any. Fire. It was a basic meal, but I had plenty of snake meat on me, or, heaven forbid, beetle meat. I just needed fire. I frowned, wishing I had thought to buy a tinderbox from Writ before I left town. Then it hit me. I'm a magical lighter. I quickly gathered some deadfall from a nearby tree, thankfully without attracting the attention of a nearby creature, and threw it into a pile. I tossed my tiny orange fireball into the pile of sticks and was rewarded with a small glowing fire.
Ha! There we go!
I started skewering bits of snake and beetle meat onto a stick and held it over my makeshift campfire. I'm sure I would remember this day with fond nostalgia a year from now. Hopefully while chewing on a finely cooked dragon meat steak. My first day in Ascend, cooking snake and beetle meat in front of a fire. I carefully watched the meat as I cooked it, trying not to cook the meat any longer than necessary. After a few minutes of cooking, the juicy aroma of the meat made its way to my nose, and I began salivating. It didn't taste half bad, to be honest. Both the meats tasted oddly close to chicken.
Rawr!
Something heavy slammed into me from behind, knocking me forward, and my shoulder exploded in pain as I took a vicious bite to the shoulder. I saw my health bar take a dive as I reacted out of instinct, grabbing the biting creature and rolling my body forward as I threw it over my now bloody shoulder onto the makeshift fire I'd started.
Shit!
I cursed while I scrambled to get my footing, drawing my sword as I watched the young puma, level 5, whirl from my throat and snarl in rage.
This is just like the trailer, except with a big fucking cat and me!
Reacting desperately, I slammed my fist into the puma's nose, stunning it for a moment. I had enough time to scorch it once with a hasty flare before it was on me again. I could barely keep ahead of the puma as it mauled my thigh with a swipe of its paw, which knocked me onto my knees. I threw another flare at the creature as it coiled to spring, scorching a patch of fur. Undeterred, the animal leaped at me, sending us both to the ground in a heap, my sword falling from my grasp as I fell. I pummeled the angry cat with my fists, managing to knock a single tooth out of its maw. Enraged, a paw slapped down on my chest and claws dug through my armor as the puma struggled for leverage to put an end to me. The first-person view of the feral cat definitely trumped the mangy wolf in the trailer. I tried reaching behind me to find my sword lying on the ground, so close I could just feel the edge of the hilt. Gritting my teeth at the pain in my chest, I pushed against the cat, moving me enough to reach my sword while its claws tore at my flesh. Grabbing my blade, I stabbed out and into the creature's ribs, landing 3 solid thrusts before the 4th found something important, and the puma collapsed on me, all fight going out of it in an instant.
Phew! That was close!
My battle had taken a great deal out of me. My health flashed red at a measly 6%, and I could hear my heart thundering in my ears. A stiff breeze could do me in at this point, and while I had managed to make food for myself, I was still thirsty, which meant I wasn't about to regenerate any time soon. Pushing the puma's corpse off of me, I stood up, and out of habit grabbed the loot on the creature as it faded away, finding a normal-quality puma pelt and a chunk of meat on the creature. With a sigh, I began looking around for the food I dropped in the scuffle. I was still a little hungry, and my health wasn't about to regenerate itself. Did the 5-second rule apply in virtual reality? I laughed mentally at the thought as I traced around the area. Ah, there. I saw the stick lying half under a bush. Bending down, I grabbed the stick to pick it up, only to have a paw reach out from the bush and slap it back to the ground with a growl. Blinking, I saw an even larger puma's face poke itself from out of the bush. In its mouth, it held a piece of meat I had previously skewered on the stick.
Nice, kitty.
The puma scowled around the chunk of meat in its mouth and growled even louder as it began shoving itself through the bush. My meager health bar had yet to recover beyond 6%. There was no way I would stand up to a second fight so soon. Swallowing any shame I had, I spun on my heels and sprinted off into the woods, raw digital adrenaline fueling my flight. The sound of claws and growling as the puma extracted itself from the bush and gave chase only sped me along.
Shit, 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 shit! Where am I going?
I dodged branches and ankle-sized pitfalls as I sprinted out of the plains and into a small forest. In a straight sprint, the puma would catch me quickly. I had to keep it twisting and turning to have a chance. The puma already found one free meal today. I wasn't ready to give it a second. The small forest was starting to clear as I made it towards the other side. Just a little further to go.
You have run out of stamina.
On second thought, it looked like I was going to end up as a meal after all. My pace dropped drastically as my stamina hit 0. I could barely move faster than walking speed as my lungs began to wheeze. I could hear the sounds of the cat closing in on me.
Well, I guess that's that.
I wheezed to myself as I continued pushing through the woods, trying to stay ahead of the puma. I pushed my way through the last few branches and bushes that were blocking my way out of the forest, and my heart fell. 10 paces away, the land simply ended. I was overlooking the edge of a cliff. I had nowhere to go other than back into the forest, or down.
Well, shit!
I peered over the edge. Was that water? It looked like something had taken a massive bite out of the land here ages ago, forming a crater lake with a forest surrounding it. It was at least 100 feet straight down to the water. The puma finally caught up to me. I turned to see it rush out of the forest, claws helping it skid to a stop as its yellow eyes fixated on me. Going back into the woods wasn't an option anymore. That only left one way. I looked behind me, over the edge of the cliff, and came to a decision.
Not today, you little fucker,
I said as I flipped the puma off with both hands. Satisfied with my act of petty defiance, I fell backward off the cliff. Chapter 7. I had a little over 2 seconds to watch the cliff blur away from me as I fell, before I hit the water with a thunderous splash. Thankfully, falling into the water had led to no falling damage. Had I fallen on land, I would have splattered everywhere, making my reckless escape of the puma pointless.
Nemesis added, "Your actions have marked a young puma, level 6, as a personal enemy. Your nemesis will continue to gain strength and hunt you until it is defeated. Beware."
Nemesis?
I gasped, still trying to catch my breath.
Well, I guess that's a problem for the future.
There is so much we don't know about this game. I hope it doesn't come back to bite me later. Literally. Either way, I was happy to still be alive as I tread water. The cliff I had jumped off of was to my right, large and imposing. There wasn't really anywhere to scramble ashore there. Looking forward, I could see a distant shore. It would be a long swim, but I would be able to make it eventually. To my left, I saw an island of some sort, not that far away. With nothing of interest behind me but another distant shoreline, I swam my way towards the island. I wanted to have a chance to sit and recover before more trouble found me. Seeing that I was likely the first person to ever swim in this lake, I drank as I swam. It finally got rid of the annoying thirst notification in the corner of my vision and boosted my regeneration to a measly 2% every few seconds. As I made my way closer to the island, I could see that it was small, barely more than 30 feet across, covered solely in grass. I kept a sharp eye out for danger the closer I swam to the island, the nemesis warning already making me a little paranoid. After watching the island for a few minutes, I didn't see any creatures and deemed that it looked safe enough to swim closer. Interestingly, the island didn't have a shore and didn't get any shallower as I approached, forcing me to drag my wet self onto the island. Happy to have a few minutes to finally catch my breath, I lay on my back while I watched my health and stamina recover. Isolated away from the mainland, the island felt serene, peaceful even. All I could hear was the gentle sound of the lapping water around me. Yawning, I felt the mental stress of my fight fade away. How long had it been already since I started playing Ascend Online? 6 or 7 hours? Time flew by fast. I allowed myself a few minutes of rest before I started to move again. Back to full health and feeling re-energized for the swim back to shore, my biggest challenge now would be finding a way back to higher ground. From what I could see in the distance, I would either need to scale the cliff or find a dogleg path once I got over there.
Might as well get moving,
I grunted to myself as I slipped back into the water and began the swim to shore.
Oh, wow!
I gaped as I saw the pale green outline of what had to be a 15-foot-long vein of copper ore running along the cliff. I'd been swimming steadily towards the shore for about 15 minutes before the vein highlights appeared in my vision.
I might be able to get all of it if I can balance myself between those two rocks.
An hour, 2 skill-ups in mining, 3 slips back into the water, and a lot of cursing later, my pack was literally overflowing with raw copper ore and a fair amount of tin ore. I was ecstatic, and a bit confused as to why the two metals were found in such close proximity to one another. Splashing back into the water, I couldn't wait to get back to Aldford and sit in front of the forge, With how tattered my militia shirt was getting, it was past time that I found myself a better set of gear. I continued my swim back to the shore until finally stumbling my way onto land. As my feet touched solid ground beneath me, the hunger notification appeared again, much to my annoyance. Figures. I hadn't had a chance to finish my whole meal before the first puma attacked me. After taking a moment to gather some dry wood, I repeated my earlier trick with the fire, this time cooking the chunk of meat I took from the puma. While I was eating, I looked through the system menus that were available to me. I saw the familiar options, such as journal, character sheet, and map. When I attempted to open my map, I was given an error. You must have a map equipped in order to use this menu. In order to create a map, you must learn the cartography skill. I shrugged. I could try my hand at making a map if I got some parchment, though that didn't help my being any less lost right now. Another problem for the future, I thought wistfully. Thankfully, I was able to finish my meal and drink my fill from the lake without anything getting the jump on me. After taking some time to mentally retrace my earlier exploring, I figured Aldford was somewhere to the northeast, if at a much higher elevation. With a sigh, I pushed myself up off the ground and started following the nearby ridge. I had no idea how long it would take me to get back to the village, and I wasn't eager to be stuck in the wild for the night. I paused for a moment to glance at the sun. It was already making its way to the west, and the best I could tell was that it was sometime between early and mid-afternoon. That meant I had anywhere between 3 to 5 hours of daylight left. With a spring in my step, I set off north, deeper into the forest adjoining the ridge, looking for a way out of the crater lake I had fallen into. Over the next few hours, I quickly found that the forest was packed with just as many animals and creatures as before. I ran into countless snakes, foxes, beetles, and even a few lone wolves as I made my way through the forest, trying to find higher ground. Thankfully, none proved to be as difficult as the puma I'd fought earlier, and my skills quickly improved. I managed to collect quite a few animal pelts, enough that I was sure to fulfill my debt with Rit, along with enough experience to hit level 5. With barely a glance, I dumped my 5 attribute points into strength, bringing it up to a mighty 25, and the now familiar feeling of thickening muscles followed. As I stumbled up the gentle incline of the forest, I was starting to get a little concerned at the state of my gear. My pants were ragged, boots waterlogged, and my militia shirt, well, it looked like it lost a fight with a puma. Even my rusty sword felt off as I swung it. As the sun waned, it gradually became harder and harder to see in the forest, and I grumbled at not choosing a race that could see in the dark, such as an elf or a dwarf. I was starting to have problems seeing anything further than 10 feet in front of me. Some adventurer I am, I muttered to myself as I stumbled over an exposed tree root, wandering through the forest using my sword like a blind man's cane, hoping nothing decides to eat me for a snack. Ugh, why didn't I bring a torch? The idiocy of my statement hit me about 20 strides and an unexpected fall later. With my eyes looking up high, trying to make the best of my better peripheral night vision, my foot stepped into nothing, causing me to pitch forward as I fell into a hidden fissure in the rocks. My face hit something hard, followed by my knees, as I tumbled blindly, landing on my shoulder with a crash against hard stone. Fuck! Ow! I cursed as debris continued to fall from above, along with my sword, which, thankfully, fell hilt first nearby. Oh, I'm an idiot. This is the tinderbox all over again. I'm a magical torch! I continued to swear as my battered brain finally caught up to the situation. Raising a hand high, I conjured and held my flare spell in my hand. The orange glow of the tiny fireball gradually illuminated the area I'd just fallen into as I moved my hand around. Both the walls and the floor were made of hewn stone, rough and unfinished. A passageway? Or maybe a tunnel? I whispered to myself as I stood up, slowly checking my health. This time the fall had taken a solid 35% off my health. I shook my head as I held my hand up high, trying to make the best use of my meager light to get my bearings. I'd be the one to fall into a hole that you couldn't climb out of. The little bit of directional sense I had left after my fall made me think that the passage behind me led south, back towards the lake. I lifted my flare and took a few tenuous steps down the southern path. It only led a short distance before it was filled in with dirt and rubble.
"Was this here before the crater formed?" I asked aloud.
"There was no way out this way." I turned back to the area where I had fallen in and glanced upward at the ceiling. Climbing out didn't seem like an option either. As rough as the stone walls were, they proved to have few handholds to climb out. Not to mention I would have to make the climb in the dark, as there was just no way I could hold the flare and climb at the same time.
"Onwards, the inept adventurer goes,"
I muttered to myself, choosing the northern path. At least I was able to see where I was going now. With my flare in one hand and my sword in the other, I walked down the tunnel in hopes of finding another way out. I took it as a good sign that the further I walked, the more I noticed a slight incline to the tunnel. I figured if I got close enough to the surface, I could always take my pickaxe out and dig myself through a little bit of rubble, or backtrack and try digging myself out at the other blockage. As I walked down the tunnel, I started to notice large gashes and burns that adorned the walls. To my untrained eye, it looked like a running battle was fought here once, a long time ago. With still only one way to go, I followed the signs of battle until I came to a doorway. A heavy iron door that once used to bar the passage lay twisted against the ground. From the amount of corrosion on it, I had to guess that this door had been lying here for ages. I quietly stepped over the door and entered into what appeared to be an ancient storeroom or staging area. Everywhere I looked, I could see burn marks and shattered pieces of weapons and armor. Whatever this place used to be, its inhabitants certainly didn't go down without a fight. I bent down to take a closer look at a scrap of metal on the floor, but unfortunately for me, it didn't even register as an item.
Scrat, scrat.
What was that sound? I lifted my meager torch higher into the air as I turned to where I heard the noise coming from.
Scrat, scrat.
Out of the dark, a shambling skeleton appeared, slowly shuffling towards me. It was covered in tattered, decaying armor with a long, broken sword in hand. Standing from my crouched position, I brought my torch higher and readied my sword. With the added light, I noticed that the skeleton was missing its right arm and foot, forcing it to walk oddly slumped due to the missing bones. In fact, it looked as if the entire right side of the skeleton was covered in burns. Warily, I focused on the creature to gauge its strength. Decaying Commander. Rare. Level 5. A rare creature, I thought to myself excitedly as I gripped my sword tight, watching it shamble into range. I wonder what loot it'll have. Leaping forward, I smashed my sword into the skeleton's side while trying to send it stumbling with my boot. You slash a decaying commander for 10 points of damage. You kick a decaying commander for 4 points of damage. A decaying commander hits you with heavy slash for 173 points of damage. The blow from the skeleton sent me flying across the room before I crashed into a wall.
Ugh! What the hell was that ability? It took off nearly half of my health in one hit!
I wheezed as I gasped for breath. The blow knocked the air out of me. Wincing in pain, I groped around in the darkness as I forced myself to stand up blindly. I had lost control of my flare spell when I was hit.
Scrat! Scrat!
It was on the move again. I hastily conjured my flare again, bathing the area in a dim orange light.
How was I going to kill this thing?
The skeleton lumbered towards me slowly on its unsteady limb.
It's not that fast. Plus, it's missing an arm. Maybe I can get around it.
I stood ready as the decaying commander closed the gap between us. I waited until it wound up for an attack and rolled hard to its right. The skeleton's broken sword sailed over my head, leaving a brand new scar on the wall as it lumbered to turn after me slowly.
Shit, it's strong! But slow, too!
Taking advantage of the slow turning rate of the creature, I shoved the skeleton, sending it stumbling off balance. I slashed out, landing 4 solid hits before I backed away from the creature.
I can fight this.
I smiled to myself for a moment before I saw that the hits I had landed so far only accounted for 3% of the skeleton's health.
Tough bugger.
But then again, Using a sword to cut a skeleton apart probably isn't the smartest idea. I drew the skeleton away from the wall and into the slightly more open area in the middle of the room. I glanced around the chamber to see if there was anything I could use to better fight the skeleton. Nothing. All I could find in the room was rubble and shards of broken metal. I ducked under another powerful blow as the skeleton closed the gap and I landed a few more hits on the monster. This time I darted in close to the skeleton as it attempted to turn on its broken leg and threw my shoulder into it, trying to knock it to the ground. When I made contact, I found the skeleton to be much lighter than I expected, and ended up tackling it straight to the ground. I lost my flare as I landed atop the skeleton, plunging the room back into darkness. I flailed with a fist and was rewarded with the sound of snapping bones. Conjuring a flare once more, I barely managed to duck a swing of the skeleton's blade. Reaching out instinctively, I grabbed the skeleton's remaining arm to hold the sword at bay, dropping my flare yet again. Despite its lack of actual mass, a wicked strength surged from the skeletal arm. It was all I could do to hold it at bay. A decaying commander bites you for 34 points of damage.
Ah!
I felt teeth crunch into my shoulder and tear through my armor. I fumbled in the dark for my blade, but my hand only came down on loose rubble. A decaying commander bites you for 36 points of damage. Blinded by pain at the second bite, I grabbed a chunk of rubble and swung it in an arc, hearing a satisfying crunch. I swung again and again and again. I kept swinging until I saw a burst of messages appear on my screen. You have slain a decaying commander. You are the first person to kill the rare creature, decaying commander. You have gained experience. You have gained bonus experience for defeating a rare creature for the first time. You have gained 50 renown for defeating a rare creature for the first time. Congratulations, you have reached level 6. You have 5 attribute points unspent. I gasped from the rush of killing the creature and the pain vanishing the moment I gained a level.
How?
I checked the combat logs. You crush a decaying commander for 41, plus 200% points of damage. You crush a decaying commander for 49, plus 200% points of damage. A damage bonus? I slowly lifted myself off the commander's remains and conjured a flare. My half-dozen blind attacks ended up crushing the skeleton's head nearly to dust.
Aren't skeletons typically weak to blunt damage? I thought I was done for.
Brushing myself off, I assigned my newly gained attribute points into strength again. Being the first to kill a rare creature certainly pays off in experience, I thought to myself as I bent down to pick up the loot from the skeleton. Commander's broken sword, slot, main hand or offhand, item class, relic, item quality, normal, damage, 1-1, slashing, strength, plus 2, agility, plus 2, durability, 0 out of 0, weight, 1 kilogram. Note, a skilled smith might be able to reforge this item.
Oho, bonus stats!
I admired the looted sword. It was certainly worse for wear. I idly wondered if Jenkins would be able to help repair the sword for me. Deciding to keep moving, I explored my surroundings a little further. Before whatever battle forced this place to be abandoned, this room used to be a combined sleeping area and storage room. I could see the remnants of a few bed frames along with a number of long-since rotted crates. The signs of the battle disappeared as I walked further into the room, keeping a sharp eye for anything else that could be lingering in here. At the far end of the chamber, I found a second hallway with yet another mangled door on the ground. The hall appeared to split in two different directions. To my right, there was a rubble-filled passage that seemed to lead deeper down, followed by another that led to a series of gentle switchbacks that led upwards. Might be worth coming back down here one day and dig further down, but I really want to get back to the village, I mused to myself. Choosing the upward route, I continued up the switchbacks until I eventually felt a cool breeze.
There's a way out somewhere here.
I started to walk a little faster until the tunnel I was following evened out.
Ah, shit!
I cursed as more and more rubble began to fill the tunnel until it was impossible to go any further. The breeze I felt was the strongest here as it floated in from along the ceiling.
Well, it looks like I'll have to dig after all.
Holding the flare in one hand and using the pickaxe proved to be a difficult, slow, and annoying task. Eventually, after an hour's work, I was able to one-handedly dig my way through all the loose dirt and rubble that had accumulated over the tunnel's entrance, pushing all the excess further down the switchbacks. The moment I saw my mining skill hit level 4, though, I didn't mind digging my way clear. Whatever structure the tunnel led into was long gone.